This is the RLRD special meeting, Tuesday, September 30th, 7:30 p.m.
I've asked Tom, the new business, to give us a report on Dave Andrix. Anything else? No? Motion to accept the agenda?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, under old business. I'll let Rhonda catch up for a minute. You're all right? We need a confirmation of those attending the DEC meeting.
I called Rhonda and told her I had other obligations that day.
You're going?
I was gonna go, but my wife said in Baxter, you can go.
So, is anybody from the...
I believe...
Yeah, good, okay.
Rich Malter.
Rich and...
Bill.
And Bill.
Bob.
And Bob.
Kathy.
What is the DEC meeting?
And James.
And James, okay.
That's the flow.
And I believe that,
Is this the DEC meeting?
Gotta give that back to the... We're gonna stay to go to it.
Okay, all right.
Dick Hubbard and Mary Jo Hubbard.
Okay, yeah, what is the DEC meeting?
Talk about the DEC.
Tonight, Jerry.
DEC, Maggie, the DEC meeting is gonna address two topics. The DEC meeting is gonna address the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And the DEC is in action in the creek.
Okay.
To date, and we're also gonna discuss the outflow through the bridge under County Road 49.
Okay, so it's for those, so it's for those two?
That is correct.
When is that meeting?
October 9th.
Where is it?
At the DEC Allegheny office.
It's a ton of...
10 a.m. Yep.
No, I'm not going to that one. So it's specifically to address the two creeks?
Yeah, yeah, different reasons, but both...
But...
Correct.
Deb, I might have had the wrong thing, I was talking about the one with...
No. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so it's just, again, Bill, Rick, Brad.
Yep.
Okay.
And Mary Jo and Dick Hubbard said that they were gonna attend also.
Okay, and I'll probably go along with them.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's also gonna be about the erosion on Trail 9 too, we're bringing the photos.
That's what we're talking about.
Well, that's...
You did say Trail 9.
That's the Rush Creek part.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then the Canadea Creek is the...
Right.
...on the building. And down there, right?
Right, we have photos.
Yep.
Excuse me?
Okay.
I have a question on...
Hi, Richard.
Is the SCS gonna be there, it's the county soils and...
It's strictly with the DEC.
Yeah, but they're the ones we've talked to.
I have, as a matter of fact, I spoke with Dave, I can't pronounce it.
Risky.
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 And he's from the county.
Mm-hmm.
And I have right here, I have the disc of the survey for that, that they did down there. So now we just have to have this plotted. That's why when Brad goes to the DEC, I want you to look at, we'll both look it over. And to see what we're gonna have to do to complete that project. Debbie just picked that up today or yesterday.
Okay, so we're all set with the DEC meeting on the 9th, correct? Yes? Brad?
Yes.
Okay. Update on the FOLA meeting, October 18th. I know there's several people who are going to the FOLA meeting. I think the whole board is going.
Yeah.
I cannot attend, I have a wedding I have to do that day.
Do you have to be in it?
Yeah.
In what capacity?
What's that? Not that capacity.
And I think there's several people here going, you're going...
Let's just, we do the times on that.
On the FOLA?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I need to know the time too. The time...
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. And you can go.
Yeah, I've called Rhonda with the preference for the meeting.
Need to make that correction. Are we all set on that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, any other, oh, the old business, Brad, on the website?
Website is in a beta test mode, we should have it available online with some limited activity late next week.
Wonderful. you'll let us know.
Yep.
Very good. And just for the record, Gene checked with Belmont Hardware. He has no record of the bill for the bench for Bob Bierstein. So I will check. My next step is to check with the instructor at BOCES and with the Summer Youth Employment Director, Sherry Weirich. And we'll find out where that bill is. Okay. Any other old business? Dave or Gene? Okay. Let's go on to new business. We have a commissioner opening. Gentlemen?
I'd like to make a motion that we have people give us resumes and we could interview each one.
Okay. It works well.
I'll second that.
Okay. And...
Do you want to clarify the rule?
Yes. And what deadline do we want to give to get these resumes in?
When is our meeting?
In November.
Oh, in November.
Unless we want to have a special meeting, you know, in between. We're going to have our meeting the 16th, and then have another meeting after we interview at a point.
Well, we've got to have a deadline for the resumes and all that.
Well, it's today. I mean, people need to find out, so you're going to have to send out.
Into November 1st?
November 1st. You want the resumes by November 1st?
How are you going to know? You're going to be able to notify everyone in the district?
What do you want to do, send out a postcard or something?
Or how about posting that in the, do we put it in the paper?
Yeah, we can do that.
Well, there's one problem.
I think all the district residents.
Yeah, that's
many
right.
Many people not on the lake now
right.
Are interested. It has to be done by the mail order. And you, of course, don't have email addresses for everybody, so.
Mm-mm. I can send out an email, and I will send out an email tomorrow.
Okay.
Does that cover most of the residents or the people on the lake, Maggie?
Yeah, it covers a real good proportion of
it. But not all of
them.
It doesn't cover all of them. So that's not, you can't
do that. You can't rely on it, but last meeting it was an acceptable way to get the message out to a number of them.
Well, we really should have something that would send it out to everyone.
Well, let's do a mailing. We'll just
do a mailing with the...
Because we also have a dam operators opening, too, that we've got to get to. So, but we need to take one thing at a time. Yes.
And they have to have their resumes in by November 1st?
November 1st for everything. But first of all, we need to accept this resignation. Rick Gajewski, is there a motion?
I'll make the motion to accept the resignation.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And this is, he's resigning from the commission and as a dam operator. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Now, we need a motion.
It has to be noted that we had a majority vote here somehow.
Okay. We all voted yes. That's a majority vote. Okay. She's got all. What's your name? You're right.
There should be a roll call vote.
Okay, a roll call vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right, now we need to post the commissioner opening. And dam operator, can we take that in one motion, or since we're going to... Or maybe we better do two. to post the commissioner opening, is there a motion?
I got a question on the, what's the qualifications? Do they have to be a full-time resident or is it part-time?
The qualifications to fill this particular opening, it has to be a resident of the district. Year-round resident.
Are you talking for the commissioner or the dam operator?
The commissioner.
Right, it has to be a full-time, year-round resident.
That
okay, that's what I'm saying. It should be posted as
Rick,
such.
That was the question.
The term would run for one until next July, and then we would have an election.
Right.
For a one-year term for the position.
Yeah, I fill that qualification as a full-time resident, Gene, so I don't believe that we need to look into that. I believe that that can be a part-time resident.
Well, that's the only thing there, Brad, is he ran on that particular position. That was his, that's what position he was running for. And that was, and I think that's the way it ought to be.
I believe, Brad, you're Rushford, he's Candia.
I don't think that.
That doesn't matter.
Just has to be a resident of the lake, a full-time resident of the lake.
The reason I ask that is because they might cut down on their mailing quite a bit. I mean, you would only mail to the local residents.
Well, you're right there, Charlie, but the only thing is somebody's got to go through and sort out the residents and the non-residents.
Well, their mailing address would be local here, is down here is what I'm saying.
Well, I think there are ones that probably have another mailing address.
You need to check that, between the difference between what Brad and Gene's saying.
I thought the legislation said we had to have just one.
Right.
Yep.
One resident.
What I'm getting at, the position he ran for, when he ran for that position, was posted that way.
I don't think it has to stay the same, though.
I don't think it has to stay the.
Okay, I think we need to check with our attorney. Rhonda, would you call our attorney tomorrow and double-check on that?
How about just to save ourselves?
I agree.
Red faces down the road.
Yep, I think we need to have a lawyer look at it, though.
Not $1,000 for it.
No, a quick phone call, Rhonda.
But I don't disagree with Brad, but that was the position he ran for when he ran for that.
And I, Gene, I don't disagree with you either. I think that we just have to look at legally what's right.
Right.
And if you do have a full-time position, that's what you want, and that's probably one of the first ones that we look at.
Fine.
While you're looking at that, I mean, a mailing would be nice, but doesn't this just require the legal newspaper posting like anything else would that the district would be required to do to?
You're probably right, but I think it's covered.
The only problem with the, yeah, and because so many people are going to be gone, the Wellsville Daily Reporter, you know, do we put it in the Wellsville paper? Do we put it in the Times Herald? Do we put it in the paper?
However many papers you're required to put it in, but you have to do that. I mean, the mailing's fine, but you have to do that, I think.
I think you're right on that, Bob. I think it has to be.
Can we check with the attorney on that, too, while we're?
Yes, a quick phone call, asking that, too. What is the official newspaper of this board to put?
Times Herald.
Is it?
Isn't it, Rhonda?
Yes.
And the Patriot also.
Both of them?
I believe so.
Yeah, as long as you're doing it, why don't you put it into the damn drawdown date? It's not going to take any more room.
Yeah, that's true. A posting that in the paper?
Yeah.
Well, the paper in on the letter, you have to mail one.
Yeah.
That was in the last mailing.
Doesn't hurt to second guess it.
Remember, drawdown date. All right, did we vote on this commissioner, on posting the commissioner opening?
No.
Did we do that? Yeah.
We voted on resumes.
Okay, so we need a, we kind of put the cart before the horse there, but we need a motion to post the commissioner opening.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And that motion should say that it's going to be in both papers and also a mailing route.
Yes, it should. Now, we need also to post the opening for the dam operator in both papers and in the mailing. And I don't see why we can't put it all in one fell swoop. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
A second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
And all, just a consensus that we will also in the mailing and in the postings in the paper, we'll put the drawdown date as a reminder. Which is October 15th. All right, does that take care of everything here?
I just have a question here. Now, when people are applying for the dam job, okay? Now, who's going to take the person to do the dam? Are we going to leave that up to Bob Pomeroy?
The board is going to make the decision on that with the input of Tom Thomas and Bob Pomeroy.
With the input of both of them, yes.
And I think the full board, didn't when we were interviewing for Bob Dierstein's position, didn't the full board need to pick, or to to go through the...
The interviews and the decision.
Are there requirements or an outline of duties for that position?
Good question.
The light stairs.
This is all calls in the middle of the night.
I see.
Rhonda said, yes, there is. There is a description, and she can have copies available for anybody who wants to apply and wants to know what the requirements are.
Thank you.
Good question. And the requirement for commissioner, the number one, is have a tough hide. Take all the slings and arrows.
A short memory.
And, yeah, a short memory, right.
And an open mind.
Well, that does help. Okay, on this next one, on the dam stairs, heater, light switches, lights, what's that all about?
Bobby wanted, the first one was drawdown lake elevation.
He wants to do, okay, and on the dam too, okay. Bob, the floor is yours.
It is.
Yeah.
We got a limit switch that is bugging on the north sluice gate.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Say what?
Speak a little louder, please.
The north sluice gate has a limit switch that has a heartache.
Okay.
Show Gene that cutout and he'll understand what the problem is. Sunday water. Doug's got it right in front of her.
Oh, this, okay.
Limit switch is right in the cylinder itself.
Now, can I assume that that may require a screwdriver of the...
No, that's not.
No, it's not.
I don't have it.
So everybody understands, the limit switch in that sluice gate is a switch in the bottom of the dam for the sluice gate as the water goes, comes in on the dam side, not the back side. There's a limit switch in there that is not operating, and the only access you have to the limit switch is up the pipe.
It's in the water.
Right, up, yeah. In the water, up the pipe.
No, the cylinder's on the outside of the pipe.
Yeah, you just jump in on the water side of the pond, swim down.
Whoa. Right, so it's going to be definitely a scuba project. Is that correct, Bob?
Do you know who to contact to get it fixed?
No.
No?
Who, Charlie, who was the one that put, do you remember who put that stuff in there when that was...
Bidco.
Who?
Bidco, Buffalo Industrial Divers. And I believe they're no longer...
In business?
Is that the big question, having a qualified diver to go down there? To install it, or is it two things?
It's the diver and
the capabilities of
fixing. What is the switch? How do we get the switch? And what is it required to fix? Bob, is that switch something we can purchase?
I believe so. There's some literature in here somewhere, but I lost the page.
Put that directly opposite the opening on that that switch directly opposite the gateway on the inside of the water, inside the dam.
No, it's right in the head of the cylinder and it's at the base.
Oh, at the top of the cylinder.
Yep, there's one each way.
And the one that's screwing up is the top one?
No, it's the bottom one.
Oh, the one that pushes it open.
Yep.
Could it be wiring instead of the switch?
Say what now?
Could it be wiring instead of the switch?
There's a possibility of that as well. It's either the switch or the wires that go down to it, I guess. Hmm.
Do we have records of when that was put in and the personnel that put it in?
Mm-hmm. Is that the one that... Bidco did
the installation on the gate.
So where the absorbed it somewhere, too.
And to the best of my knowledge. But, I mean, that was... Remember, too, I mean, just to get to those cylinders, we had a 70-foot drawdown, and they were still required a decompression chamber.
Absolutely.
This isn't a scuba diving task.
But couldn't we eliminate your possibilities first of the wiring up top or your wiring down?
Be a proper procedure.
There was a gentleman there that tested it. It's not in the box. It's somewhere between the cement floor and 100 feet below the floor. You might know.
Who came in and tested it?
Jack.
Okay.
Well, we've got to figure out what we're going to do here.
I assume Howard Acres, if they have...
There you go. That'd be a place to start, see if they got a recommendation.
I assume that that's how they got their mother diabetes.
Bob, who was the company in Massachusetts that manufactured that gate? Remember?
Steel Fab.
Steel Fab.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
You think Steel Fab might have an idea?
They manufactured the thing.
They can probably tell you where you get a switch, but they can't tell you how we're going to test it. And if there's a wire broken 80 foot down in the middle of the cement.
The wires go down to the hydraulic hoses.
Run parallel.
Well, they're like a submergible pump, and the wires are on the hoses.
Yep.
There is, he has checked that. I'm sure there's wire going down there then. He has checked that to make sure there's current going down there.
I'm not sure what he was testing, but yes, it tested it.
It was leaving the box and headed that way.
Yep.
Something's got to be addressed pretty quick.
Yep. Well, I think it was an open. I think it was open.
Yeah, probably.
So the only way it could be an open circuit, not making the trip back up, is the broken wire in the switch itself.
Does that allow the gate to not open or not close?
That, the only way you can open it is stand there and hold the button.
Okay. But you still have a reading as to how it's, you can override it, you still have a reading as to the percentage that it's open.
No.
No?
If you remember right, that blue box, you stepped up and pushed the button in.
Yeah.
And when it made the trip to
hit stop,
shut it off, yeah.
So now you can force it open by holding the button, but you don't know when you've reached the top limit. You don't know if you're overpressurizing it because it's at its top, right?
No. If you stand right there and watch, there's pressure gauges.
Okay.
If you stand there and watch it, I assume you can tell when it hits one end or the other just by the pressure.
Yeah.
Somewhere in here.
It's when it hits the end, it's going to...
Pressure's going to go higher.
It's going to peak.
Somewhere in here I read that they're only hitting that with 850 pounds of oil pressure.
And just so everyone realizes, the sluice gates are on the inside of the dam. They're strictly an emergency device that if there's a failure downstream with one of the hull bunger valves, they can shut off the flow.
So it's still operational.
The dam is still operational.
Right, but that valve is still operational.
Yes.
It does not become automatic, and you have to hold them up.
Right. I just didn't know if you guys understood that.
Well, it's something different.
Yep.
So do you still think that we should check with Acres first?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I don't know who else would have an idea who to contact.
Who's going to contact Acres?
I will.
There's a certified diver right on the
lake
that's pretty talented.
Brad, the Gordon Absorbers Electric. Gordon and Zoom Old. G-O-E-R-B.
You might want to look at, like the dam safety requirement somewhere. We're going to want us to have a scuba diver do inspections in there at some point. So if we are going to send somebody in, maybe we could have that done at the same time, repair and inspect. We just have them come back.
I think they agree.
Yeah, because they'll have recommendations. Yeah, they may have a recommendation from some guy who lives down in Manhattan that they're going to want to send up here for who knows how many dollars an hour. Do we need a motion on any of this?
That's a cutout. The hydraulic cylinder. It shows the switches right now. Sometimes they're internal.
Done, Brad.
Yep.
We should, we'll get that done as soon as possible.
Call
whatever we can do, and then get together with Bob and Tom.
Yeah.
And someone can come down there.
I know it's not in budget.
How could
it? Exactly. Right. I know what he's thinking.
No snort.
We got to go through the chamber sometimes.
Emergency. There's our repair fund right there.
It might not be too bad.
Bob, go ahead.
Oh no. I just figured it'd be a good idea to Olive Acres. I'm not sure how they unscrew that switch and do underwater water splice. I assume we're going to need somebody a little more than 1 minute.
Yeah, somebody will go to
school. Yeah. Yeah, right. Because you're underwater, right?
Did you guys need to discuss the lights?
Yeah.
Lights?
We got on here.
Oh, I ordered the mini lamps that go into the blue console that controls the switch, so we don't have to borrow bulbs from the side to work and put them on the other side for north and south. That'd be nice to have a full set.
The oil reservoir heater burned out. There's one of them ordered. It's $515 for keeping the oil warm.
What's that, an in-tank heater though?
Yep. And it's not in a sleeve. It's stuck right in the oil itself.
Got to drain her up and put her in and cut it into the bottom.
Gene, what's your thoughts? Should we change the oil?
Anybody got a record how long it's been in there?
Yep, 13 years. Right.
How many years?
13.
Change it.
But, all right, the book says every 1,000 to 2,000 hours. Well, we're not anywhere near that, but you say dump it anyway.
You know, well, as I do, oil breaks down to setting in a condensation crankcase.
Okay, I'll go to the condensation, but I didn't realize that we should have been doing it sooner.
Well, I'm not saying we should have been, but that's opportunity to change it.
Yes.
Can't, what's it hold practically? You have any idea?
It's an 80-gallon tank, and it's not full, so whether it's
50 gallons. Oil's cheaper than repairing.
Yeah. Yep, is that changed? Elders along.
Not what's that?
We have changed some elders along, but we haven't done
but enough. Still, oil picks up condensation and oxides and oxidizes and everything else. I think it should be changed.
All right, that's what we're
doing. I mean, you wouldn't run your over-the-road truck for 13 years.
Bob, how many times have those gates been operated in the last 13 years?
Oh, I couldn't tell
guess.
You, but it's not much.
3-4 times?
Oh no, been a little more than that.
Since they were installed?
Yes.
Yeah, hold on.
They're exercised annually or biannually or?
Yep.
And that's it?
Yep.
Just that switch, is it supposed to be, you can activate that from, you can't activate it from here?
No.
It's got to be, done in the house.
Yes.
And it's manually, you have to manually activate it when you want it to work, in other words, it's not an automatic thing.
It was automatic, before you could step up, push the button.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta push the button.
Right.
It's not a remote switch.
It wouldn't close itself, but now you gotta stay in there and physically hold the button and wait for the pressure to jump.
Yeah, okay. Have you ever visually inspected that oil in the tank itself, is it off-colored or wrong?
When we change the oil filters, no, it looks just as good as the day it was put in there.
In theory, the heater should help with that, Gene.
In theory, the heater's gonna break that oil down.
The Blue Bible mentioned that Parker sells a kit that'll test your oil and let you know whether they think you...
Yeah.
It's still up, there's nothing there.
Before we do that, have to bleed it and change that fluid that we sent oil out to get tested. I can have it tested and determine if it's good or not. There's several facilities that'll do that with a small sample.
The reservoir heater only keeps it at 75 degrees.
I'd like to see it tested to see what's in there.
Yeah. Bob or Tom, can you give me a sample of it? Just at least a little clear about the acidity.
Stop at the vet clinic and get one of those stool sample jars.
All right.
Does it have the viscosity on it or what type of oil?
The book specifies Texaco Hydra 30.
There's the two switches on the rim.
Hope they show me.
Like any hydrologist. There's a specification for clearance and gap adjustment on the right side. Yeah. So you can understand that the gaps are big and it's reopened right now. So it's
possible. Yeah, everybody's got to get down.
No, I know. I'm just saying. So it could be wiring. It could be the switch. It could be a gap.
If we do have to replace the switch, then make it smart idea to do a fail-safe switch, put two of them down there.
According to the schematics, it'd be kind of hard to do.
The switches are built into the ramrod.
There's only one. If there was a double outlet into that cylinder, but just only shows one, that would be possible. But there's only one inlet, one outlet out of this thing.
There's one switch at each end. When the hydraulic cylinder pulls all the way one way, it just makes the contact. Same thing when it goes the other way.
Could a mechanical switch be put someplace other than the hydraulic switch? In other words, to the gate itself.
I wouldn't know how to answer.
But I mean,
yeah,
it'd be good to have makers at least look at it.
So yeah, right. There you go.
We're gonna spend thousands to get a diver down there.
Yeah.
Just do it twice.
Just a common ordinary solenoid.
Yep.
That's $20.
That ain't like your submersible pump, you just gonna pull it up out there and check.
Nope.
Huh.
Okay. Bob, we can just get that oil checked and if it checks out. All right. Maybe it's there, but I'd be really curious. I would imagine it's picked up contaminants by this.
Well, you're probably right.
But maybe not.
That
sets in that well house there, right? And it's damp in there.
Clean the whistle in there, Dean.
No, but
clean
it's...
Clean
it dry. No, I mean, just the moisture surrounding that thing.
Absolutely. Yes. It's not a heated space.
No CPS.
All right, anything else on that? What about the stairs? We got a question here on the lake elevation. Is there something that was supposed to be answered? Let's get the stairs first here, and then we'll go back to lake elevation. Bobby, is there anything on the stairs that you wanted to talk about?
Well, there was a section down there that I think we need to replace.
Okay.
We just wanted to know if you guys wanted us to replace that piece or put a band-aid on it.
I think they might as well go ahead and fix it.
fix it, that's...
Don't take much longer to fix it.
That doesn't put a Band-Aid on.
And you've got to put the, there's that railing at that one platform halfway down to its back every place.
Needs more boards.
I know you've done quite a bit, Tom, I've seen that, so. All right, back up to the lake elevation drawdown. Bobby, what, Tom?
Oh, just was curious what you guys were thinking.
I'm trying to think, what's in the...
1430? He has recommendations.
I just typed up a summary of what we did last year for you. I can get an email out to you tomorrow if you'd like to review what we did.
Is the recommendation the same?
Unless there's reason to deviate again. Basically, we're down to 30 the end of October, down to 20 by the end of November.
The one that shows the limits with?
Yeah, the cutout.
Yeah, I have it on my desk.
Okay, well, your bond has got one.
Okay, sir.
When did we take that to 1420?
20 was end of November.
Worked out last year, you know, I had no problem with that.
Tell them what you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
So we're headed for 1400 then?
Well, what do you feel comfortable with?
Well, I think that's where we were headed for. We just never made it because of the end flow. And then...
That's the problem. I mean, you can set a figure, but sometimes there's enough water coming into that thing to keep it.
Oh, well, I think we have to readdress the situation come December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I agree with you.
In January, we need to look at it again. What do you guys think we should? But the higher you keep it, the bigger the iceberg. But our coldest weather seems to be in spring, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, after it already starts to fill up.
So it's a stinker.
The years I've been on the board, there's never any given height that works. There's one year to the next. It's just how much ice is on there.
It just has to go down below the gates, doesn't it? I mean, like 2 feet below, like where it was 2 years ago.
The lower you can keep it, the less ice you got to get rid of. Mm-hmm. It's a touchy situation, but it always has been.
It's always a gamble. If you keep it low, you have a smaller ice pack, which allows you to play with it a lot better in the spring. Mm-hmm. When you have that huge ice pack in the spring, you're really...
Then the other theory is to keep it higher and then drop the lake and break it.
Right.
But
either of those theories aren't going to make any difference to that lake.
What's that?
Yeah. Either of those theories will not make any difference to that lake.
It's got mind also.
It's going to do what it's going to do in the spring. If you get a nice thaw, it's going to melt. Mm-hmm. You can play around with 20 feet of it. You only got a foot of ice on it at that time. It's going to make a damn difference.
What elevation do you have to go down to not have those ice formations on the downside of the dam, Bob?
Spillway roughly 20 feet down.
1420.
Those aren't as bad as they have been in the past.
No, but since the boys did some work there, it's definitely helped.
Weren't they real bad, Bob, that year that the spillway was left open?
Yeah.
So it's got to go down below that.
Yeah.
It should.
I agree with Bob. We'll have to assess the thing like the 1st of December and then into January. And go from there. I mean, if every year is so different than the year before.
If you have a January thought, it could change everything.
Then it, of course, depends on the snowpack and the hills around it.
All the snow is usually gone before you're bringing that lake up.
Right.
That's gone. It's the cold weather in February and March is going to make your decision for it.
Yeah.
What you should worry about is what's going over the spillway at this point in the game, and if that causes you any problems at some point with ice buildup or anything, then you can be concerned with that. But you don't have to worry about when you're putting that cork in there until you get closer to the February, March time, right? See what the weather patterns are.
So what are we gonna do? Take it to 1420 by the end of November?
1430 to begin with.
Well, no, but 1420 by the end of November, and we're gonna reassess.
And then 1420 end of November, and then reassess in December. Does that make sense, Todd?
Makes sense to you, Bob?
Well, if there's people around the lake that wanna work on things, sometimes it makes it tough getting into the steep slope.
At 1430.
Oh, at 1420.
1420, you're just going over the spillway.
Okay.
So what would you recommend?
Oh, I recommend give them a little room, at least go get it down 30, 40 feet, but that's your guys' call.
Gentlemen?
Did you mention 1400 before, Bob?
Right, but last year, what did we get down to, Tom? You had them.
1406 was
As low as we got to 1400, and then we just brought it back to 1050.
How long did we maintain that at 1406?
What'd you do with that?
In the neighborhood of 1410, I think, for most of January. End of December, all of January. February, we started back up some.
I got a question concerning working in the lake. How long does that have to be drawn down so it's dry enough to get in those silt spots and all that?
That's what they're going to be like after
dry It's going to rain?
If it was rain, that'd be a time.
It's generally, if it's dry out, generally a week really helps things tighten. If it's real silty and bigger,
it's going to be there forever.
Whatever happened last year worked good.
Well, I think we try to follow the same procedure as we did last year, actually. I guess I didn't realize we went that low. But if that's where we went, that's where we better figure out going.
But you sound, Bobby, like you would, for people to work on their docks, you'd like to see us go low earlier than December, January.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, right away.
Yeah. That's it, but most of the people around the lake would like to see water in the lake longer. And worry about working on the docks in spring. That, working on the dock would not be the number one consideration. Keeping the water as long as possible and getting it filled as early as possible should be the focus.
Well, that's fine to think that way, Maggie, but there are people that do want to work on their docks, and they've got to get
out. If you drop it down to 1410 or 1420, most of those docks, I thought there was a resolution that there was not supposed to be any new docks going in below 1430?
1432. 1432? But there are docks in there
that are there now.
That are not actually maintained.
Hey, there.
Is there a consideration for when you draw down, when the release is, so that these beneficial to Argini?
Well, we're exploring. That's on our agenda. We are exploring
but
that.
I know,
we've got to get our ducks in a row.
You said 8.5 feet for the resolution?
Now that it's under a new ownership.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I really wonder how much it benefits them anyway.
I don't think it ever did, but their attitude back then just aggravated me. And
well, everybody else.
If there's a way that benefits them and a way that doesn't benefit them, I think it would be best that we don't benefit them if they're not going to pay for it.
Oh, I agree with that.
Well, we now have a new company, so maybe we can get someplace with this new company.
Okay.
We're not giving Bobby an answer.
Oh, I don't know if I have to have one
there. Well, there's no sense in waiting. Tom, you've got the records of exactly what we did last year, correct?
Yeah. I can mail it out to you first thing in the morning.
All right, Bobby's got the only hard copy. We can make copies and you can look at it.
I agree. If everybody's saying what we need to do is follow what we did last year.
I'll send it out to you.
Let's put
he's
that in.
He's got the records ready.
That's right in there.
But Tom, didn't you go down to 1420 like relatively quickly?
Yeah, I seem like
yeah. Bottom of the flush the spillway, close the gates, and then drive.
Exactly. We're still 400 and the rest of October.
They happen to run valves every other day.
You don't have to micromanage it.
Take it down to the gate, the spillway, and
reevaluate it at the next meeting.
Don't they have like December, January, and February to get it done?
You cannot plan on doing dock work in the spring.
You can't do it.
Depends on the weather. You've obviously never done any work in the lake bed.
Oh, no. We got to wait for the rain to come back before we can go anyway. I know it gets hard in the winter. Easier to walk on, easier to work in, and they don't take it. Not yet, but we better wait for the frost.
Well, new contractors, you want to live with that procedure right there?
Okay, I think we'll bring this back to order since Brad is back. I need a second on the motion.
To do the procedure we did last year.
Yes, exactly. Okay, very good. Gene, second. All in favor? Aye.
Debbie, before you go on to the next.
Yeah.
Dick, you and Mary Jo, you're going to go to the DEC meeting?
Yeah. October 9th, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, I want to verify that because before you were
here, when we start talking.
Okay, can we go on?
Sure.
All right, Brad, I'm going to turn this over to you now with the launch resolution.
Okay, we don't have the resolution ready for tonight, obviously, but we're working on a launch resolution. And actually, the reason I'm bringing it up now is to look just for a very quick feedback, if anybody has it. Can you share it with the rest of the class? there's been a tremendous amount of conversation lately about the traffic on the lake and how we will eventually control the number of boats in the lake, where the boats are launching, where the boats are coming from. We are looking, as everybody knows, at the creek right now, and we're going to meet with the DEC on the 9th of October to ask the DEC for some assistance. My initial blush with that wasn't as good as I had hoped, and we've actually had a couple residents of the creek talk to DEC in the last 2 weeks, and they didn't get very far either. That being said, we're looking at an alternative to what we're currently doing with the launch fees. And instead of charging a launch fee for launching a boat, what we would do is create a boat license for the lake. So when you went to the Falcon Beach area to launch, you would, instead of paying a $25 fee to launch a boat, you would pay a fee to get a weekly sticker or a seasonal sticker. That would be priced out according to if it was season or weekly. There'd be no charge to residents, just like it is now. However, the resolution will be written such that any watercraft entering the lake from any area, whether it came from the creek, whether it came from somebody dropping it off over their dock, would be required to have a boating license or the boat license on the lake. That would take the 36 or 37 boats that are currently in the creek that do not pay to launch and use the lake and subject them to having to pay the fees. And we are going to attempt, and we're working on this right now, to assess a penalty fee that would be worked with by the Allegheny County Sheriff and also the local police that saw boats launching coming into the lake. So I guess what I'm looking for is a little feedback, and I don't want to drag this out for hours, but is there general agreement or disagreement from the landowners? Maggie, I guess I'll start with you. Do you see a merit in that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Not only from the landowner's position, but the hours they spent at boat launch in the summer.
Yeah.
The complaints that I got from the residents
about the traffic on the lake. And if anybody takes the time to go down through their balcony, I mean, Labor Day weekend alone, we got almost $800 was taken. And a lot of people took off and didn't want to pay $25 on Monday because the sign says no fees on Mondays. I think you might want to also address this free fishing boat thing.
We are addressing that, and the fishing boat basically becomes a 25 horsepower or less aluminum fishing boat, as opposed to you have a fishing rod in the back of your 250 horsepower boat.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got into several discussions with
We're going to clearly define that. This is a fishing boat. This is not. There is no grader.
Now, you get some of these Lunds and some of these other boats out there that have 225-horse outboard motors.
That's a boat.
That's a boat.
Yeah.
It clearly looks like a fishing boat, but it's more than a boat, more than a fish. It's not what the intent of the original resolution was, and that was just because of the stocking allowing the fishermen out there.
Right.
So
we absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, and the traffic on the lake, you know, we allow the town residents to buy, what, a seasonal pass for $40 or something. I think that's got to be bumped way up there.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
Way up there.
We figure...
It's going to be taxpayers free, everybody else has to pay.
Within our district. Taxpayers within the district free. Everyone else should have to
have... Fall into the same category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You know, pay to use a lake, especially with these damn safety regulations and things. We've got to control it.
The only thing that comes to mind with regard to that is the residents' offspring. So if mom and dad own the place, then Junior has the boat and he wants to bring it in, and he might live in Ohio or something. I don't understand how the resolution controls access, though.
The resolution can be modeled basically after the way Lake George does theirs right now.
Okay.
And there's actually a few lakes in the Adirondacks that do the same thing. There's actually a chain of lakes in the Adirondacks that you can't go from one lake to the next without paying to go on to the next lake, and that's it's always a point of contention. But the point was to ask the Allegheny County Sheriff to monitor it, and we know exactly where the boats are going to be coming from. They're going to be coming from out of the creek, or occasionally, obviously, we've got the launching.
You know, I understand the control. I don't understand where you start limiting input, because anybody can buy it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Anybody can buy it, yeah. So it doesn't really change the number of boats on the lake, Nick. What it does is everybody that's on the lake has paid, and the taxpayers are getting benefit, as opposed to we figured up the ones that aren't paying right now. Conservatively, we came up with $6,000 to $7,000 a year, conservatively.
Make sure that doesn't.
So that is a tremendous, you know, as we see the taxes increase every year, that is a tremendous way to bring it back.
But I could still be on the lake on a Wednesday and launch, and no one would stop me from launching.
They would not stop you from launching. However, the resolution will be written that it is not a weekend resolution. It is a resolution 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we would ask the sheriffs to...
And it's priced such that, like, at 5 days now is $150, and a five-day pass is $150?
It's priced a little more than it currently is. The seasonal pass is considerably more.
What's the dollar mark you're considering?
We've had discussion on that.
$250 for a season and $35 for a week. And now, the reason we came with $35 for a week, and now I'll just tie our thinking behind that, and I'm open for a discussion. Most people that come down for a week that are not lake residents, because that's what we're talking about, are coming down to rent a cottage for a week, to stay for a week, to come down. That's usually what it is. So they're going to come in on a Saturday or whatever it is. They're going to pay today. They're going to pay their $25. Their boat's going to go in. They're going to be here for the week, and they're going to leave. So we didn't see they're not going to in and out every single day. We don't see a lot of transient people. Maggie, maybe you see something different. That launch Saturday morning, take their boat out Saturday night. Launch Sunday morning, take their boat out Saturday night.
You'd be surprised.
Well, I kind of reviewed the registration going in and out. There was a couple. But
there's a lot of residents that do that.
A lot of residents, but a lot of people that are actually paying the launch fees are coming in paying $25 on Saturday.
Just a handful of them.
Right, so we didn't see
on weekends. Right. You'll see them a lot during the week. Those same people are there a lot during the week.
Correct.
They'll pay on the weekends.
And the only discussion that I know that I
been part of several times in the last couple of years is $25 is a bargain these days. It ought to be $50. And then we've had conversations, I think, and you, of like, it ought to be $50 across the board. I don't care what you have.
We thought the same thing. So that's why we did a lot of research.
For a daily.
Yeah, we did a lot of research to see what lakes charge from here to Buffalo to Rochester to the Adirondacks to Syracuse to Cross Lake in Syracuse. There's a lot of smaller lakes off the canal down that way, Baldwinsville. And we couldn't find anybody that was close to $25. We were thinking the same thing you were.
$25 has been since when? Like, since it was in...
Yeah. And I know, my point was comparables, if you have to compare ourselves to other people.
Yeah, what are they getting?
You can't. There's no place that you can go that's over like $4 or $8. I've never seen Candango, like the lodges are $6.
Yes,
they're state-run lunches too.
I understand. I get that.
That's
but
about $4.
Yeah.
But I think we're special because in that there are as many watercraft on this lake for the size of the lake that we have a real issue with trying to control the number of that are on here. So whatever it takes to do it.
I agree.
It's pretty. It's. I am amazed how many people don't mind spending that $25
to get on the water.
Yeah.
It's a pretty decent issue for them.
But let's say even in the camping area where they have a lot of campers weekly, they're going to have to buy that pass. Yeah. Otherwise, they're going to be subject to a big fine. So they're going to buy a weekly pass.
Well, $50 pass.
According to Brad, they don't. Well, according to Brad, the conversation he had with me, campers can't afford it.
Well, they're going to have to.
Yeah, they afford $50 for the beer to go along with.
A lot of empty docks.
Everyone in the Ryan's camp and those other camps, they're going to have to buy. And a Brazos, they're going to have to spend $250. If you have 100 of them, it's $25,000.
Yeah.
That goes. That's like our increase in tax. What was it? 5%? It's $10,000. It's like a 10% increase in tax on your just for revenue alone.
It takes a big burden off. The other thing that, I'm going to switch gears for 1 second, the other thing that we're contemplating in the resolution, and I don't know if we're contemplating, we actually thought it was a good move. Residents of the lake with a jet ski, free, just like it is now. Non-resident, no jet ski.
A lot of lakes have that on their...
Well, a lot of lakes ban them.
Yeah.
A lot of lakes ban them.
We're being a little bit of a gray area when we say, the other thing we can do is make the launching for a jet ski so prohibitively high to a non-lake resident that they just wouldn't pay to put it in.
Brad, how are you going to find resident? Because I'm going to go back to something you said, which is mom and dad own the cottage.
Mm-hmm.
That's in their name. They're paying the taxes.
Yep.
And their son or daughter own the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're parking it at mom and dad's dock. Or you have non-traditional couples where you may have the cottage in one person's name and the boat in another person's name. Or you have the cottage in a trust and the boat's in another person's name. How are you going to define residence and do it equitably?
It's a good question.
Right now it's correct.
Yeah,
we kind of talked through that, Kathy, as far as who's paying the taxes. If it's a trust or something, I guess you guys are LLCs to some extent. So you come down, we know who you are, we know who your boat is registered, if it's still registered in that trust, then we would just go that route. So you'd be a tax-paying resident.
Yeah. And if
so you're basically, they would come down with, here's my tax bill, here's my registration, pick up the thing from Rhonda.
Yep. And now, it could be, obviously, if you come down with a Bill Smith tax bill and a Jones registration, there's going to be a question about that. But I think that is the very rare situation.
Yeah.
The LLCs and the trust is very easy to deal with. Yes, you're a lake residence. If you've got a document, the whole nine yards. Here's the, bring us the registration, make a photocopy.
The same thing with families.
Correct.
So if your property is deeded to an LLC, and the boat is registered to the owner or the principal of that LLC, they would get a pass.
And why not?
Not a problem. Yeah. Even if he has three boats, four boats.
And that we put right in the resolution that way, so it's never a great
thing. Right.
But how about the kids?
Yeah.
Ray, what about kids? I think you kind of said something real quick.
Well, what do we currently do? What do we currently do with kids? There should be really no change to that policy.
If the kid
comes into the dock right now and he wants to launch or into the launch right now on a Saturday, he's going to pay, correct? So there's no change in that policy.
And they would also
be eligible to buy a $50 weekly pass or whatever if they're going to be there for the week.
They're paying right now.
If a family member has the boat and the dock is in that another family member's name, and let's say it's taken in and out by the marina, it only goes in once a year and out once a year, that person can come down with a family member. Say you have a parents, and they have the cottage, but the kids got the boat, and they
leave it there all year.
Scott every year, and he puts it in and he puts it out.
Guess you better go pump to pay $12 and get it registered in your name. And I'm not being facetious, because the first time you do that, everybody all of a sudden has a son-in-law that they didn't have before.
It can be an issue that you've got to look at. Because right now you've got people that will do that.
Brad,
actually have that.
Yeah. I got two boys right now, each with boats licensed to them. But they stay at my place.
Right.
So what do we do with them?
Last name's Young, right?
They're residents.
They're residents.
Yeah, they're residents. They live on the lake.
No, they don't.
Well, yes, they do.
They live with you. Do you live on the lake or your son?
I do.
Yeah.
But they don't.
It's a good caddy.
They stay with me when they come down.
There's got to be a solution to that, but again, if you just turn that tap on, that's just going to flow like everything, and all of a sudden the whole world's going to have somebody that's related to it.
That's why you're going to have to really well define it before, otherwise you're going to get into a whole equity thing.
Yeah. Ron, did that happen constantly when you were giving out launch passes, didn't it?
All the time.
Constantly.
Yeah, that's...
Don't you have to have the biggest problem for people who are lakefront who have the ability to dock more than one boat.
You've got to have that approval.
Your back lots, they only have one boat. You're not going to have, but it's your lakefront people who are paying the highest taxes and have the ability to dock more than one, but maybe two boats, a Sea-Doo, and they have them in different members' names, and they all come down and use that cottage. There's where your problem's going to be, is your lakefront people. It's not your back lot. They only usually have one dock.
Absolutely right. That's where my problem comes in.
And they're the ones that are, quite frankly, are paying the highest taxes, as all of us who are lakefront know. They're the ones that are going to complain the most. If all of a sudden
it's a good point. I mean, it's a good point. Some siblings
absolutely. That's why. You know, that's exactly why we're having this conversation. We're not dropping a resolution. That's what we're doing in the back.
So solve the problem before it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Or maybe what you could do is the first boat could be a freebie, but then any additional boats, a small charge, or a charge, not necessarily small. Maybe you'd
want to
think about that.
Yeah, we'll bounce it around. There's got to be a way to do it.
If you're paying
a multiple
taxes,
boat discount.
If you're paying taxes, you should be allowed to have at least one boat, whether it's in the name of the person on the deed or a sibling.
I'm just trying to think from Rhonda's standpoint. I mean, would you require, like if my daughter comes out with a boat, would you require me to come in with her to get the sticker for her boat? Instead of putting all the onus on Rhonda, which happens, mm-hmm. right? I'm so-and-so's daughter, I'm so-and-so's this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's up to the property owner has to come in and give you a break so you're not making these kind of decisions.
Right.
Because it happens all the time, right?
Yeah, that's a quick solution. I mean, I don't know if that's the right one, but the quick solution is the property owner must be present.
And what about the trailer parks, like Ryan's Trailer Park and... Mike brings up the trailer.
They would all have to pay the whole season fee.
I know in the past, I've seen resolutions from 20 years ago where they were offered discounts. I saw that, but...
And from a personal standpoint, my husband and I have just a small aluminum fishing boat. It's really just a fishing boat, but it's got a 40 horsepower.
Pay double.
Rhonda, you're the keeper of the stickers.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an issue.
We're gonna
I'm thinking about other people though, like us, where they have just a small fishing boat, and you know, some of them are 30 horse, some of them are 40 horse.
But
the point is, they don't live there.
And Brad, you might want to check on the Brazek's
park.
I think he charges them a taxes. That it's broken down and they get a separate tax bill.
They get actually a tax bill?
Yeah, don't quote me. I vaguely remember hearing a conversation about that.
I think they do.
So if they do, you're not going to, and you're saying people who have a tax bill.
Yeah, but theirs wouldn't be a tax bill from the town. town.
It's a tax bill from him.
Yeah, it's his own tax.
But he is spreading the taxes to the owners.
And that's another gray area. So check, I would just...
Yeah, they bring out a district tax, so they're paying a portion of district tax, and they're a tax.
They're a tax, yeah, right.
But it would be on a district tax, too.
Right.
The regular tax bill, not an assessment from the owner of the property.
All right, we'll talk about this enough. I'm not hearing anybody that's really important, am I correct?
Oh, God, everybody is. I mean, there's people, they wanted to know if there's any way to control the number of boats that can even launch on the weekends and holidays. You know, like, limited to 10 new boats on the lake, and once the 10th boat is there, shut it off. No more launching today.
Some lakes do that.
You know, say it's like a fire marshal, and sorry, you can't come in because the building's over capacity. Well, when somebody leaves, you can launch.
When you go to DEC, I would ask them, you know, how many boats should be on a lake like this on a weekend, you know what I mean? For the size of the lake and how many boats should be out there.
You'll never be able to do anything with that, with the amount of boats that people that live here.
No, I understand that, but I'm talking about as far as new boats being, outsiders launching on the weekend.
It's going to be impossible. If you go to Cat Bay Lake on the north end of Cat Bay, it's a million times worse than we have on the weekends. And the DEC is fine with that, so that's going to be a challenge. And the second we talk to DEC and they get a wind that we want to raise the price or do something, they have a problem.
All right, are we ready to move on?
We're ready to move on. Thanks for the input.
Chuck just stepped out a minute. Let's go to the John Bernhardt update.
Okay, John Bernhardt, it was addressed at the last meeting from the community shop next door. And I told him I would contact John Bernhardt to find out what the status was on his deck being built this fall. So I did call John, and I did get feedback from someone that contacted Mr. Friedman. John Bernhardt did contact them, and Mr. Friedman's just waiting for the check out. And 2 weeks after drawdown, he should start his deck.
Right. So, good.
For those people.
Excellent. All right, very good. Mr. Stewart.
Yeah. The reason I'm here is I had asked Dave once before about obtaining a dock. There's an area down in on Lakeshore in the Cove area where there's room enough to put an additional dock. And I submitted a drawing to Dave. We were over there prior in the week with Kathy Hawk and Bill and that, and these docks that are over there are dilapidated. They're falling down. And I had drawn up a sketch to where you could put almost a marina style docking in there and put two more slips in there. And I'd like to request one of the slips for my property.
See, right now, three of these docks they're on the list that I gave you, Rhonda. They have to be tore out. I mean, they're very unsafe and unstable. And
how many are down there right now?
There's three docks in this area here. There's one dock right here. You would leave this dock here. This dock is fine, but these other docks have to come out. Mm-hmm. Actually, the only thing that he would actually be doing is some of these are wider, and you can't even really get a boat in them. The walkways, the platforms. He'd be narrowing these platforms to 3 foot wide.
With a 10-foot opening.
So you'd be able to get a 10-foot opening each slip. You'd be able to add two extra slips without, and actually, because these other two slips have to, three slips have to be rebuilt.
Okay, now what would give him the dibs?
See, when Chuck Stewart was commissioner, I applied for a dock myself on a community dock, and what I was told back then is if you could find a dock or you could find an area off of the right-of-way, if you apply for that, if you apply for it, come up with a drawing, submit a drawing, and as long as the neighbors next door to you didn't have any problem, as a matter of fact, people signed off on it, the neighbors, and as long as it wasn't a navigation hazard, that they would approve it. And I think I tried like three or four areas before I actually came up with the area that.
I've been there since 19. I bought that property in 87 and built in 88, and I've been there for well 20 years now.
But I think there's a lot of people in that area who also feel entitled. And we do have a moratorium on backlot docks.
What moratorium is that?
September 1992, a moratorium was passed by the board for no new backlots. It also said that the commissioners at that time were going to craft a plan for backlot docks in the future, which never happened after 1992, unfortunately. So now we're in that position.
Are there dock licenses on those docks?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yes, there's three dock licenses on those, on the three docks that are down there.
Well, who are they licensed to?
Yeah.
We know who they're licensed to, but they know they all have received letters that those docks have to be repaired or rebuilt. Yeah, I mean, repaired, I can't see them being repaired.
But don't those people, do they put boats in there?
One of the three people.
Yeah, one of the three people.
So you're going to remove them?
No, they would all have to, they're going to have to be removed anyway, but while they're being removed, Mr. Stewart would like to add at least one dock, and there possibly maybe room for another dock, which we thought that when we were speaking that he could hold in the lottery, put it in the lottery system.
But what I'm saying is the people who already have licenses on those docks, aren't they still entitled to their docks?
Oh, no, they would have their dock.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, they would still have their dock.
Okay.
Matter of fact, but the only change in their dock would be their platforms are a little wider now, and they're unstable. One's like on a slant. And it would just be like a 3-foot walkway instead of a 6-foot platform.
No, Donnie
Dockers.
How do those people feel about it?
Well, they haven't even been approached yet. Oh. See, what Mr. Stewart's trying to do right now is just to see how the board feels about it. That's what he's trying to do.
I think that would matter how
right.
they come.
Is that right, Chuck?
Right. It wouldn't interfere with their dock space as it is now. It's not taken away from them. It's not. As a matter of fact, there's a space down there now to where you can add another dock without touching their docks. All this will do is, because that space on Lakeshore is wasted. It is absolutely wasted. You have one owner down there who might have 35 feet of frontage and doesn't need that much. You can go down there, and these docks, what gets me is a lot of these docks aren't even being used. I want to build a dock. I want to use it. And there's people who do have docks, and they rent them out. And first of all, the other thing is, you know, when you say about this moratorium against backlotters, why are you discriminating against backlotters? Because
this isn't an entitlement program, sir.
I'm not saying it's an entitlement
well,
program.
Well, I think for a long time people have felt entitled as backlotters. I know.
No. Wait a minute. We're not saying we're entitled. We pay our taxes just like front
lot. You don't pay the front lot taxes.
I most certainly do pay the front lot taxes because I get assessed on the same amount as the front lotters. They pay more because they're assessed more. But I pay the same percentage of tax on my bill. So don't say I don't pay the taxes.
Well, then why don't you buy a front lot?
I had a front lot. I had to sell it because I was forced in retirement. I couldn't afford the taxes. But I've had this property.
My point exactly.
Well, Chuck, that's not my point. Let me just ask you a question.
Right.
And I'm not trying to put you in a spot,
right?
But it's going to come up, no matter if it's you or Bill Smith or whoever it is that asks this. If this were to go through, and it went through, and I understand those docks have fallen down, they need repair, and they're not getting repaired. Right. I don't disagree. It looks like a good plan. Your property value increases. Somebody else that lives two doors down from you that does not have a dock, that has come to the board and asked for a dock and has not got a dock, what do we say to that person? And I'm asking a question. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but that's I think that's what happened in 1992, and that's why we're in this position that we are today. How is it fair and equitable? Backlot properties, I know because I've been a backlotter, I've been a frontlotter, I've done both just like you. A backlot property changes in value $30,000 to $40,000 by putting a dock.
No, it doesn't go up that much.
It absolutely
does.
No,
it does. Absolutely. It'll go up to $15,000, $20,000, but it's not going up to $30,000,
$40,000. Oh, yeah. Yep. So, some do.
Are you a realtor?
I'm here.
Are you a realtor?
No, but I see.
All right, then.
Well, I'm not, I don't want to get you guys in the dark. My point is it does change it, correct? It does change the value.
It does, absolutely it does.
It does change the value of the property, which all of a sudden sets the board up for a lawsuit.
I have seen other docks go up through the years.
Oh, yeah, they're criminals.
I've seen people buy in other people's docks, and why are you denying, if there is a space available, why would you deny a person?
I didn't say I was denying or I vote for or against them. Right. I had to get all the questions out, that the questions
are going
to come to the
board. Well, that's okay, I understand that.
And the questions that will happen when
I
come
see, I don't like the hostility I hear from some of these people in here because they're front lot owners. I don't deny them that. That's fine. If they want to put as many docks as they want, that's fine. But I pay my same district tax as everyone else, like district tax. And if an opportunity, now, why are there all those other backlot docks? You know why? Because RG&E permitted it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But all of a sudden you put a moratorium that I don't get because it's discriminating towards a backlot if there's a space available. Now, I'm not saying tear out anyone's docks or anything like that. All I want is a place to park a boat.
I don't disagree. And I think that's why in 1992 they passed it and said they were going to do something, and that's why we're here 16 years later or however many years later it is, and nothing has been done because it's a very tough subject. Doesn't mean we don't need to address it, but that's kind of where we are today.
There's a lot of wasted space in that bay, first of all. I mean, I think as we transfer docks, maybe we need to look at getting more space. Would it be possible to let the landowner, the backlot person, let them have the use of the dock, but not transfer the dock? Therefore, the property value won't go up, but they still have a use of the dock.
But then the person would be liable. Who owns the dock?
Yeah. Who owns the dock?
Get the permission from the person who owns the dock.
Well, they own it for them, but they can't transfer it. And we take it back when they sell their property.
Then the district owns it.
And
the district will be liable.
So if someone buys a property, and they're buying it with a dock, and then there's a lot of people that
buy
it, and then
they're going to sell their cottage for 40
years.
You know, it's kind of tough.
Rent a dock.
What happens if one of the docks that are falling down, and you go to that person and say, okay, and it's to the end one, and he approves, and says, okay, we'll put a brand new dock in at no cost to you. You have this site, and he's willing to give us that site. Then what?
See, that's in 1998. You when you were on the board, Chuck, there's a resolution in there. You remember I passed that by you, Brad. If you have a community dock, if you want to form a community dock, just give us your bylaws. Ron, do you remember that? You remember that, Gene? Because when I applied for my dock.
There's been so many of them.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is...
There is
a resolution from 1998.
But there is a capability of renting docks. There's a lot of rentals out there that they can take a look at, especially if these people don't ever use their dock. And I suggest that if this gets rebuilt to some extent, then maybe approach them to rent it.
Yeah.
Maybe with the idea that you'll build it for them, and have some level of usage.
Okay, I have a point. I want to just bring this up to everyone. There's some people that are in a circle, okay, that have one dock, but there's two spaces. How about if someone did go up to one of those people and said, well, hey, can I join your community dock? You know, because it is a one dock and it does hold two boats. Are we going to refuse them? Or are we going to let them become part of that other fellow's dock? Or are we going to say, no, he's going to keep his two slips, and no other backlotter is entitled to
it? I think it's up to the person who's in whose dock.
Okay,
you know?
Now, that's what I'm saying.
But it wouldn't pass on
if
to the next owner.
If he put the dock in, the person who owns
right,
the dock.
Right, but he would have to... Right.
To both sides. Yeah, that person can make the decision.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. If that person...
You wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, but
we'd have to pass the
law. Many of those docks only have one side usage.
Yeah, but some of them have two.
Well, but this design calls out two extra slips, two extra spots, one slip with two sides.
Right.
Or, I'm sorry, two slips, one.
Right. He can make that,
Basically, let's go on to something else. Docks. Yeah. The dam is the most important.
Where's Doc?
Docks. Brad and Dave, why don't we, and Gene, why don't we work on this?
All right, but I just have one question, okay? let's say, for instance, he did, Chuck did talk to these three owners, and instead of putting two slips in, he says, ask them, these other three owners, if he could add one slip. Would we have a problem with that? Issuing a new license, as long as he had these other three people agree.
It's a loaded question, Dave, because whether we have a problem with that particular doc isn't the question.
Okay.
It's how do we handle every other request that
comes in. Exactly. Bingo.
That's right. I'm just saying that would be his next plan. There's no, to shoot the hip like that is good.
Has anyone else applied for one?
There have been a lot of people who've been in here and said, in fact, I've got emails from people who said, is there a waiting list I can get on?
Yep.
And there isn't.
I talk to one person every month.
I
ask about how do we do it? How do we do it? And we basically say you don't. You can't right now. So
back in 1986, they said there was a waiting list when we first came down here.
No, it's 22 years ago.
Yeah, but then everyone says
1996 to 2008 is 22 years.
All right. We will address this. Correct.
I thought that was 12 years.
Just because nobody wanted to address it doesn't mean it's not going to get back. So.
Okay, moving along. Tom, would you tell the board about Dave Andrick's? And I gave you the permission to go ahead and get him down here.
Dave Andrick's is a consultant that's been down with the dam before. He knows the verbatim console and various interfaces. And, you know, hopefully have him help us get a fast start on getting a laptop down there with a serial interface that would get real-time levels and history when we're in crisis mode. It'd be nice to know if the info is actually building or has seen or started to ebb in the last hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. As right now, the only way we can do that is try to call it every hour and guess. Also, we're going to have them possibly look into whether we could teach the verbatim to call out with a wireless business rather than a landline, because we've been burnt many times with it trying to tell us there's a high or low alarm, but the phone was down, which we didn't know till we woke up, and we didn't need to be called by then. It was obvious.
This is what precipitated my telling him to go ahead and see if we could get in touch with Dave Andrick's. The phone line went down, and you know, that's not good.
Right. Well, the dam does have, you know, we're down there today, and the dam does have full broadband capability through Verizon 3G network. And
the bar's down there.
Yep.
At the top.
And I sent and received three emails off my phone with it. It's got full data communication. It works perfectly there. It's actually got a real good signal. So, as we proceed with this, that is definitely a bill to that we...
And the last thing, I think, last big one anyway, was either getting back to what Bobby called the ticker tape printer that used to spool the data into the bucket, so even if we couldn't access it, at least we could scroll back and see. Or maybe it would be better to pull the information on the laptop and just have a plain old printer that we could format it and make it easier yet to access that information and share it.
Didn't we include the laptop? Who was going to look into getting that? Were we leaving
I was looking into that because I thought there was perhaps a chance we were through a program would get one donated and they will have an answer for that.
Thank you. That would be great.
I don't think it will need anything more than standard serial for it to talk to it, but Dave will hopefully confirm or deny specifics of what it might need.
Is there a specific form you've got to fill out for the lake level? Is there like certain columns on it, but certain date, and then now this software we bought, does it do it in that format, or do we have to
Still going to have to massage it, I believe.
Can you put it into a spreadsheet or something like that? Can you download it?
I do now, but it's all by hand. I take all the little scraps of paper from the house and my truck and Bobby's dashboard, and you put them all into Excel, and we get a monthly report.
But this software won't allow you to download to a spreadsheet?
Possibly at some point, if we can get it to put out a common delimited format or something. Yeah. I could write a macro or something to try to magically enter the field, but it might be a bit optimistic. But at least we could keep it in the house.
Would Andrus know if it could do that?
Possibly. I've yet to really speak to him. We exchanged emails, and it was this Thursday or Friday would be the soonest he would be available to at least talk.
We could do that at one time, remember, from this computer.
Yeah, I thought so.
I could put it into a spreadsheet. I could chart it. I could do all that.
Did it come right in? Sweet. Well, I should be able to do it again.
Dave's the one that set that system up.
He's the man that did it.
That's his voice on the machine when it.
Oh, is that the voice?
Yeah.
This is the Canadian.
That's 26. I was trying to remember who that was.
Very nice. So that's why we're trying to get him back.
Thursday. When's he coming Thursday?
I don't think he'll be here. This Thursday or Friday was the soonest we would at least discuss what it is we're trying to do and then decide does he come here, because I know Dean and maybe some others would also like to meet with him, but probably not down there today. I don't think he's anxious to go down there if he doesn't need to. He was big enough as old notes.
Okay, do you have some?
I appreciate Tom and taking care of that. So is that acceptable to the board that I told him go ahead and Okay. Anything else under new business? All right, let's go on to finance. Legal billings.
I made the check out tonight for the insurance company. We gotta get that. Ron just gave me the bill tonight. We gotta have it in your hands by tomorrow. And then I made that adjustment that you asked for the legal bills. And we've gotten two billings on the inundation study from Hatch. One is dated 9/25 and one is dated 9/11. You want to pay the 9/11 one, and we'll pay the 9/25 one at the next meeting. The 9/11 one was $9,691.70. So I'll cut a check tonight and fund it when I get to it.
Have we had any correspondence here with that?
Not that I know.
Indeed, they've done with that money.
About that.
In other words, they don't give you a breakout of what they're billing us for.
They give you a breakout of who worked on it, how many hours they billed.
Their description of what they're working on there, Brad.
Engineering project and construction manager, senior engineer and technologist, designer and technician, administration specialist. Which is probably the person that typed the bill. Yeah. Project support coordinator. And clerk.
So, you know, I put a call into Al today to find out what the status is of the inundation study.
Oh, good.
So,
good.
I kind of expect to hear from you tomorrow.
Excellent. Thank you for taking care of that.
Good.
Good job.
You all know what the inundation study is for.
Yeah.
The inundation study is required by the DEC, supposedly, so we can get our grant money. Now, the inundation study is done so we get a worst-case scenario.
The dam breaks.
Yeah, if the dam breaks.
No overtime.
It has nothing to do with the boring samples that are going to have to be done on those.
No, that's totally separate. That's separate.
Yeah. Where's that stand?
The core samples?
Yeah, that's required for next year, right?
Yeah.
I imagine you're going to wait till the inundation study's done before you decide.
Yeah.
Well, when is the inundation study going to be done? If you need to have these borings done on the other side of the dam, aren't you going to have to get some pretty specialized contractors to do that?
Yes, we met with Bill tonight. He's going to have all the information for us tomorrow when the study's done.
Yeah, Bill Sikorsky is working on that for us.
Yeah.
And as far as the inundation study being done, if you look at what they've billed us for, they've billed us for about 25% of the work at this point. I can't tell you if they're 25% done, but they billed us for 25% of the work. So common sense would say that we are about 25%
Okay, and that
study
has nothing to do with the dam project. It has nothing to do with next year's potential borings on the other side.
This is just a study. That's to get our grant money.
This is required.
For us to get the grant money that's already been approved?
That's right.
We need to add that in there.
And it will also be required as part of the new
dam safety.
So it's killing two birds with one stone.
Okay, the inundation study is what Bill was talking about last time, where they keep making you jump over through these hoops to get the money, even though it wasn't a requirement with the original.
Right.
Nor was the boring of the samples.
Well, the boring was, they were, yeah, the boring they were talking about for quite a while.
This inundation study was never a clear point from the beginning.
The borings were, they talked.
No.
The boring, I think they'll talk about the borings for like 2 years.
The boring studies are something that's came up since they issued this grant. That study was really supposed to have been done at the time that that grant application was put in, actually. If you write down and read the fine points, because that's how far that water's going to go toward Belfast, and how much of Rochester's going to take out, basically what that's about, if that dam breaks.
But the boring was, well, boring
isn't
was
that,
the last...
Boring,
a boring is something that is, a boring is another hoop we had to jump through afterwards.
Afterwards, but isn't that inundation study part of the EAP that's already, part of the emergency?
Well, to me, that's a gray area. I really think it should have been done at that time, right?
I thought, didn't you?
Well, not the way they wanted it done.
Okay, it was addressed, but not in the specifics that they're requiring.
Right. Emergency action plan, everything was done except for this inundation study. And I believe, we thought we had satisfied their demands, which they want to know how far this water is going to go to Belfast, and how much water is going over the top, and underneath, and they want exact figures.
And if you read it closely enough, it's going to tie into the Mount Morris Reservoir, and the Mount Morris Reservoir will be able to take it all at once, and then will probably be another study done on the Mount Morris Reservoir to see if that can handle that. So it's a moving target.
Were you thinking $9,000 or one-fourth of what it's going to cost to do this?
The price is the total, the inundation study is $44,000.
$44,000 is the total price of the inundation study.
They did set a figure on
it. Yes.
Yeah, $45,000.
Yep.
I thought, isn't that the same amount that they budgeted for the boys?
No.
And that hasn't even been addressed yet.
The borings are going to have to be done next year, though, right? Are the engineers writing the proposal for the, you're going to take bids for that? Are you going to advertise in Dodge reports?
We've never really addressed this boring study as given that the who was going to do it, when it's going to be done, and all that.
And taking boring aside, I mean, that's kind of a specialized company, so you're going to have to go, like, you're going to have to get working on that to get in the Dodge report.
But that's been done before, so.
No,
the borings
have... Not on the face side of that dam. It's been done on the dam.
This is the borings are totally new. Never had to be done before.
The dam itself has been
bored. The dam has been bored.
Right. But this is talking about the banks along the side.
These are horizontal borings at the base.
Right.
Weren't the borings a possible requirement for this hard-facing study? Wasn't that what that was for?
What I read, yes.
Yeah.
They never really come right out black and white and never said what absolutely had to be done. I mean, they keep jumping, changing the target.
If the inundation study comes back and says that we will wipe out half the city of Rochester if the dam breaks, I think that changes the whole... I don't think anyone else to talk about that, but that's kind of where everybody is that why spend another 50 grand taxpayer money on borings if we all of a sudden find out that we couldn't afford to insure this lake if we had to. So
you got it right there.
Yeah. That is what it is.
Yeah. You're going to take out Rochester, Belfast, Wells.
They're not going to get the Rochester guys.
No.
The dam's 100 times bigger. 100 times bigger. Yeah.
But if you look at the...
I know what you're talking about, but we're talking about...
Wait, about Kennedy and maybe Houghton.
Yeah. And if we have the reserve to build, to rebuild those towers.
But if you look at the way that the water flows out of that gully, it's going to go to Belfast first.
It's going to go right to Rochester.
No, you're a pilot. Yeah, you're a pilot.
Then you can put your boat in right there, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
One hell of a ride. You're going to need a bigger boat.
Literally the ride of your life.
Will she need a sticker? Will she need a sticker if that's Russian water?
No, it's off our property. That's the problem. The council never catches.
All right. As the hour goes along here. Anything else under finance, Bill? We need a motion to accept those bills.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna go over these bills, right? About the attorney fee. I had a couple of questions on the attorney fees.
Totally.
Remember?
Oh, all right, okay.
You mentioned that last meeting.
You wanna...
A couple of the bills that we were charged for, I don't know if they were, we were charged appropriately for them. There's a call on here from Mr. Turner.
I took that off.
You took it off.
Oh, you did take that off.
What we're gonna do, Dave, is short pay that bill.
Okay.
And let him come try to pay.
Did you have anything other than that?
Well, the only thing is, like, I know that I called him twice, and if I was on the phone with him for 5 minutes, and we were billed for, I think it was like 20 minutes for two different calls. But I'm just saying, it's a third of an hour for 5 minutes.
They have what's called billable hours.
I understand it, but is that how he charges for one-third of an hour? For any call?
Again, I'm not sure.
I wasn't aware of that, I just would like to know.
Email costs are the same thing.
It should be in your contract, what their billable hours are for phone calls.
We have to...
What their minimum is, whether they have a 15-minute or a 20-minute, 20 minutes is pretty standard.
60 minutes, that's, yeah, that would be, yeah, actually one-fifth, yeah, that's 10, yeah, you're right.
20 minutes even if you talked over two.
At least 15 minutes.
So take up the 20.
Okay, let's come back. All right, are we all set?
I have one other question.
One other question, okay.
Do you remember the time that we said that we were gonna just stop with the legislation?
Right.
Okay, well, there's a phone call on here for 1 hour with Rick Krasuski, Scott Pachaitis, to review, and advised on district voting requirements. So I was just kinda curious why there was an hour phone call.
But we have to go back through the...
We have to go back to find out.
Through the minutes.
Because if we weren't gonna, be working on that.
But if nobody notified Bruce, then...
What's the date of that?
What's the date of that?
5/7. 5/7.
Oh, no, it was after that, because...
It was after that, okay, but I didn't realize.
And even if we had, the commissioner calls and wants to talk about voting rights, we're still gonna get that.
Okay.
We all set now? How about you need a motion to pay the bills, right?
Yeah, I gotta read that you gotta...
Oh, wait a minute, we got another question.
It's okay, got it.
Oh, you had another question?
No, I'm fine.
Gene?
I got a lot of questions.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, did I make that one adjustment for the $66, and that's it?
And then you're gonna ask him, are you gonna ask him to lower this bill at all, or... I have some of the things in there that we're overcharged, but just...
You gotta be more specific, Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, we really have to lay it out for you.
All right, just go with the one.
Okay.
But that, right now, we're not working on the legislation, correct? Everything has been canceled.
Because Rhonda did send them an email saying cease and desist from the legislation.
Until further notice.
Until further notice. So that's all done.
All right, man.
Go ahead, Dave.
I would like to see maybe one person on this board making phone calls to the attorney. I myself, if there's an issue like with, like a family member or anything, but I'd like to just see one person, and he can email it. And I would like to make a motion that Brad be the only one right now at this time to make an attorney, to make a call to the attorney. I'd like to make that motion. Unless, between you and Brad, if Brad gives you permission to do it, then it may be different. Because otherwise if I call, you call...
Excuse me, I'm the chair.
No, but...
You make a good point. If you have five commissioners call these guys up, you're gonna...
She's the chairperson, she should tell.
Right.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Okay, so...
Brad has my permission to make the calls.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Just point of order here. Okay, are we all set now?
I make the motion, we pay the legal bill short the $66.
Okay.
And the
insurance bill.
And the insurance bill.
Yes.
Legal bill short $66.
How much is that insurance bill?
What's that?
First invoice on hatch?
Yes.
Insurance bill is $9,409.75.
And that has to be paid.
Yeah, I realize that. And that's up from $8,000 something last year.
It only went up a couple hundred dollars.
Well, that's not bad. All right.
Did we do something?
We need a second to pay those bills?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, any other old business? Let's have open forum. Let's start back here, because I always usually start over here. Mary Jo.
Is there a December meeting and what is it?
Usually we don't have a December meeting, we have it scheduled as December.
Is this confirmation of those attending in December? Oh, the DEC?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
December.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And behind Maggie, I don't know you, sir.
Hey, Griswick, you guys are doing a good job, keep up the good work.
Thanks.
I'm Sue, Griswick. I have a question about the wording. This is going back to the desk. This is residents, Lakefront residents specifically. What about lakefront property owners who are not residents, full-time residents?
That's what it is.
They don't live here.
You don't need to live here.
Yeah, we own lakefront property, but we don't live here around. We're only up here on the weekends.
Same thing, they're just saying.
Yeah, when they're referring to residents, they just mean all of you that own property in the district.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Maggie?
Actually, I have a couple of things, mostly around the Belcom Beach Boat Launch area. I definitely came in late at the last meeting, so you may have addressed it, but there's a couple of areas on that break wall around there. I don't know how often you guys walk, and I walk it every day. Erosion is terrible, and
yes,
some of these break walls are coming away. Please tell me you don't intend to replace those break walls, and you might be considering putting riprap or something in there, so it will last forever.
We put money in the budget for next year. We have talked about...
For next year, like what, after this next season, so we don't get anything done this winter, it would have to be the following year? And when you're saying next year, is that what you're talking?
January 1.
Okay.
And right now, I think we're looking at riprap.
I think that would be the wisest way to go, more environmentally friendly. If you see what Will Tucker did down there in his corner, it was...
We've already...
Looks nice, and it ain't going anywhere. So erosion, it's gonna do a whole lot better than these break walls. They have to be constantly...
That's exactly what we discussed.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is, I addressed this before, is, and maybe when you get together with the new launch procedures, you'll be putting some new signs up there. But you have a situation, especially now, and I had a problem with them on Labor Day weekend. Houghton College brings truckloads of kids coming down there. And they water ski and use those docks at the launch as their own little personal jump off and come in. Now you got, especially this time of the year or weekends, you've got people that are launching and pulling boats out, and you got these Houghton College kids that are just using that little corner right there on Belcom Beach, right by the launch, for their little private little swim lesson, or skiing lesson areas. A couple of weeks ago, there was a guy who spent the night, moored right there next to the dock and spent the night.
Just a guy?
Huh?
Just a guy.
I think it was just him, because he said, well, I spent the night here last night. He had a lot of visitors. I mean, they pulled out a grill. He had his boat there. They had that whole little corner. Just totally used that. They're using that place for their own little launch area. Now, you're allowing these people to come in. They come in with their boats, they got no place to go, so they're using these docks. And can we get something on there?
Can I make a suggestion, however dumb it sounds? But does anybody know who's in charge of the boating program at Houghton College, or whatever they call that, recreation?
I don't know, the man was already asked.
Thomas Kettlecamp.
Yeah, it's called the Water Ski Club.
Tom Kettlecamp.
Oh, okay.
Is it possible?
Is the instructor.
Is it possible that one of the people involved has a private dock on the lake that they could use or something?
I don't know. I asked him.
I don't know either, but to talk to them and see, they might not even be aware that they're creating a problem.
Well, he is aware that he's creating a problem because I've talked to him twice on it. Labor Day weekend was the one. And you got to picture this Labor Day weekend.
Right.
Boats are coming in and out and they're water skiing nearby that dock.
Yeah.
And then right after Labor Day, every weekend, every day, almost every day that the weather's shining, they're there since then. But also, every day, the marinas are pulling out boats, and regular people are pulling out their boats. His comment to me was, well, when I get a letter from the Recreation District telling me we can't ski here,
well...
Isn't that a no-swim area?
It is a no-swim area. His comment to me was, we're not swimming.
Is that the direct comment from him?
Yeah, the direct comment was from, I said to him, I said, the sign says no swimming. This dock is for launching. He says, we're not swimming, we're skiing.
I can't believe these people would be that hard to get along with, but maybe a letter should be sent.
Yeah. Is that a motion?
He asked me, where do you want me to take him skiing?
Why don't you have somebody, let's be community friendly.
Right.
Maybe have somebody call the gentleman and say, we have some concerns on a holiday weekend, putting people there. Is there something that we can work out?
It's not really only just the holiday weekend, because they pull in and out of the boat launch. All season long.
That's exactly where I'm coming. I mean, don't just jump
send them a letter. Call them and see.
Yeah, right. I have contacts at Houghton College. I'll make a call.
I can't believe they'd be that hard.
I can't believe they
would. Yeah. Well, who are they going to get?
Well, they have a ski program planned for the next month or so. They look there here every day, so maybe, give them some.
There must be.
When do they start? They don't start until.
They just started in the last week or so.
Labor Day.
They were out Labor Day weekend.
When schools
I've never seen them on Labor Day holiday
usually
weekend.
Usually they come through in the summertime. I see the boat there in the summertime.
Yeah, I see the boat. But maybe if somebody just called and asked them to postpone it one day until Tuesday, maybe that's all it takes.
But the point is, is this district allowing people to use that area as a drop-off and pick-up point for skiers? So what difference does it make if it's a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday?
What difference does it make if they use it after nobody's around there, I guess is where
do we allow it or do we not?
Again, you had to call them up and say, can you launch your boat there? We're sorry because we have so many other boats going in and out this time of year. Can you ski up the back side of that? Or maybe go over by the fishing area by the dam and go in and ski from there. But there's no
swimming allowed at the both areas, is the policy of the district. If you have...
Launch the boat and get down to the swim platform. They can jump off the swim platform on the outside of that. Up on a ski boat.
Public beach, I mean.
Well, when he asked me where would you like us to ski, I says, well, you get away from the boat launch, or perhaps maybe there's someone on the lake that you would know that would allow you to use their frontage to do it. But right here, it's a hazardous area for them to do it, because they'll come in from one way, and somebody's coming up this way trying to be launching in there, and all of a sudden they've got a full-speed boat dropping off a skier.
Maybe they can use canoes or something because
there's usually not people there. Well, but so what? Let's just arbitrarily pick an empty place for them to be able to go?
No, if they talk to them.
They can get out to the swim area. There's a platform out there on the outside of that platform.
Yeah, there is.
It's a boat, so they can sit on that platform all day long and jump in the water, and a ski boat picks them up, and they go out on the lake and have their fun. And
I'll make the call.
They all come back to the dock and get out.
That's supposed to be a... No wakes on the soul speeders.
How far out though?
They don't always use that. They're out in front a lot of times, and they drop their skiers, and they go back on the ski platform. They get back on. They send their skiers out.
We need to be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really
we need to be
careful.
Well, the college gives
great
a lot of money out. Right. Yeah. Okay. I will make the call. I will make the suggestion, and we'll I'll try to redirect them. Tom.
For a case of beer, what's my
name? Hi.
Okay. Hi.
What?
Nothing? Kathy? What's your name?
I don't think I have anything at this time.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sorry.
You want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
I want to go first, because then I'll forget again, because I forgot I wrote it down. Have the dates been set for 2009?
As what?
Have the dates been set for 2009?
You mean the
meeting dates?
No. And we
And we, yes, and we will be discussing that, and we will try to make it.
At the October meeting? The late, the 16th?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I know there were some concerns. Rhonda gave me kind of a list of things.
Expect one night and stick with it.
One night and stick with it.
Right.
And I still would like to see a couple meetings a month beginning in March, was it? When we started having two meetings a month, or was it April? May, okay. May through, and then we can always get rid of one of the meetings.
I like once a month.
Well, I know, Rhonda, but sometimes we have just
too much. We need to do two.
Yeah, we've got too much on our plates right now.
Well, speaking of the meetings, when you have these special meetings or when you cancel a meeting, what is your requirements to,
how many days do you have to give our notice, Rhonda?
And where and how do you give that notice?
5 days.
5 days. You post it on the door.
That's all you need to do, is a special meeting is posted on the door.
It was in the Olean paper, this meeting.
Oh, was this one?
This meeting was in the Olean paper?
Do you not have to state the reason for the meeting? Special meeting?
It's, I think that's the way it was worded, basically, on a special meeting, but it was a record.
I thought you had to say, I'm not sure enough, I thought you did say what for.
No, I don't remember whether.
I don't think so, because Dick, we have so much we've got to cover. If we started listing everything.
It was specific.
It could say administrative of the district is all it might need to say.
Yeah, just to have a reason for, whether it's.
Just general administration.
General, yeah, to state the reason.
But it wasn't the Olean paper.
Okay, did it say what it was for?
I don't remember the wording.
All right. So from now on, say. At the.
Nothing better to do.
Yeah, nothing better to do if we desire to do something along that way.
Don't do it.
That's a good enough reason for it. Now, Bob.
I just have a quick question. We haven't heard anything about this funding for the dam project since Bill left. Mm-hmm. And that's been like 3 months. Mm-hmm. Have you had contact with the DEC or has Bill talked to you or?
Bill's continued contact.
Has he?
And
okay.
He's working on it.
Yeah.
Great.
And we have a committee that's working on it. So.
Great.
It's in progress.
Their last thing was this inundation study. That was
right.
That was the next tool.
I understand that.
Yeah, but it is ongoing.
But it has to be ongoing.
It will be ongoing.
Okay.
Did you get something in writing specifically saying we're withholding that grant money until this is done?
They made it pretty plain without writing.
Yeah, they don't tell you we're withholding until. What they say is your next step is we want A, B, and C.
It's the final paperwork that they're...
Basically, Maggie, you put a piece of paper in that says, here it is, here's everything you need.
Oh, yeah, no,
and
I understand.
And they said, thanks for sending that piece of paper. Your next step is to send this, and this.
Right.
And they
just rather than telling you all at once what you need. Exactly.
They just keep pushing it.
But are they making these steps based on what your requirements are for the just dam safety in general and their requirements, or are they specifically tying it in to grant money that was in a budget a year and a half ago?
Yes, to both of those.
That one was approved in May of 2007.
We were never told this with either grant.
The first grant came in, though, right?
Yeah.
You haven't gotten either one of the grants?
And yes, to your question, they keep telling us that they keep adding on to what we need, but it is going to be all part of the new dam safety requirements.
So they're requiring you to, never mind. Where do you stand? Any new information on the DEC, on the new dam safety? Anybody have any?
I had contact with the DEC, Matt, about 3 weeks ago, and it's still... obviously, the public comment is time is closed, and they are still working on it, and will release no information at all as to what they are doing.
So they are making some changes based on what
they didn't say that. They didn't say that. They won't tell you fiddly squat. They said that the public comment period is now closed. Thanks for your inquiry. As soon as we have the draft resolution, we will let you know.
Okay, so what I'm asking is that the draft regulations that they had prepared in the spring prior to the meetings, mm-hmm. which they have gotten all sorts of comments from all over the state, taking those comments into consideration, they have not yet drafted anything different.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, Sheila. You gonna let Mike talk?
No. Mike, no. I don't want to make it sound, I'm a lakefront owner. I'm sure everybody knows that. Just a discussion about the docks and stuff, Mike, for back lots. The dock committee has been working, trying to figure out different ways to do things. Just going back in some years when the commissioners raised the price to keep some of the boats off mm-hmm. so that the residents can use the lake, it truly doesn't seem to be any better, even with raising the rates. Weekends, you're a resident here, and it's very difficult to get out on the weekends. So I guess all I want to do is just air my side right there is to say that I think that if there is a moratorium, the commissioners should somehow or other address that and possibly reiterate their moratorium through another resolution.
So you're trying to say that there's enough docks with boats on the lake already?
There's enough docks with boats on. There's enough boats coming in on the weekends outside of the owners. I don't know. I don't want to say you can't shut the lake off, but I don't really know. Something needs to be addressed. That's all.
You could shut the lake off. Try to go put your boat back lively.
I would like to say much in answer to that. Where I'm coming from, we've got so many problems with back lot owners who are on other people's lakefronts that I think before we build new docks
right.
or lift the moratorium, we need to fix what's broken first. For your sake and everybody
agreed.
Else's, every front lot owner's sake. That's my
front lot. I had the back lot too. If they've got a dock and they're using it, that's one thing. They want to get out too, mm-hmm. but do we need more? That's my concern.
Okay. Mary?
No. I'm not sure this is our concern or not. There's a website that explains how to ride Candia Creek from the dam to the Genesee River when we release water.
They used to call them, they were going to pay us to drop water certain days.
Yeah, but this one says it's
a... That's the best idea, paying us to drop the water.
There's a couple of XML buses in Rochester.
Is that Adventure Call?
Pardon me?
Is that Adventure Call?
No, it's an individual.
It's a banded organization that says bring a couple hundred yard rope down, there's posted signs, don't worry about them, just go over.
You go around they advise you to go around the fence at the dam. It's hilarious.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. Take a rope, go down. You're not supposed to, but don't leave your car unlocked and don't leave your kayak on your car at the dam.
Well, that's what you to say. We might want to talk to these people and dump water for them.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a way to make money.
Make money
on it.
If you go to a website and Google New York State kayaking, that creek comes up as like one of the top six places in New York State to ride in the fall. It's all over the place, and that is one of those.
I mean, that would be fabulous for this whole area.
It's five or better rapids.
Damn close.
You know, if dropping the lake means taking it to the weekend, so the people can do kayaking and we can make money?
Absolutely.
Let's make money!
Yeah, right.
Debbie, that could be part of your Allegheny County tourism package, too.
Right, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
We probably could get more of it.
You might be able to get something through that.
I've got a transferable DEC permit that was issued in 2003 to Lindell Hutton to dredge the bay. And I was told a year and a half ago by Rick, don't worry about it, we'll handle it. 2 years ago, the bay's full from Rush Creek. That's why it's called Rush Creek. I spoke to Mary Holman. Mm-hmm. In the spring this year, And Mary was going to help me to get that transferred over, but then it all went away. It all stopped. Evidently, Rick had talked to her and said the commissioners were going to handle that dredging of the bay.
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm not aware of any.
The only thing they were going to dredge was possibly the other side, but that's even something we're going to be discussing.
Right.
Now, so the bay's been full for 2 years.
Do you need a letter to Mary Holman?
I would like that. If you guys want me to do it, or are you going to do it? I'm running out of time. That permit expires at the end of this year, January.
Can we bring that up at that meeting, Brad?
What's that?
The meeting at DEC, can we bring that up?
We could absolutely bring it up. I don't know if it's a financial obligation of the district or not to do that. I would say that they have a financial benefit for the taxpayers.
Past practice?
He wants to transfer. You're talking about you're doing the work.
Past practice
because he wants us to give them the permission.
Oh, I thought it was.
Not to do the work. No.
Past practice was that Lindell, every so many years, would dredge that.
Yeah,
and then he would divide the cost up with the bay people.
Gentlemen, would you address that with the DEC?
Mary Holman was the one that was in charge of that.
Well, it's they're meeting on the 9th, so.
Is this DEC out of Allegheny?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing, when you do meet with the DEC, if downstream and the creeks, if there's anything that we could do with the material they're building their docks out of, to see if we can have any...
That's
on your list.
No.
The reason I wasn't given good hope on the DEC meeting is both those streams are Class C streams. To be protected and for the DEC to take action on them, they'd have to be Class CT. T stands for trout breeding. The DEC has designated both the creeks, that end and this end, as not a trout stream, and that's why they are very lax about what happens in those creeks and the care less.
Even though it would cause flow, debris to go into the lake?
Yeah, even though it would cause debris to go into the lake. So,
but do we want to focus more on the county, Brad, as we talked about, trying to get the county?
Yeah.
We are certainly going to do that.
Because they're the ones who put the debris in.
And we're talking about the other one, too.
Well, when I mentioned that to Dave Risky, who's head of the highway department, he really got an attitude. So it's going to have to be a letter from the board.
Yeah. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has specific directions on how you're supposed to build a culvert underneath a roadway when it is in a flowing creek or stream. The culvert is supposed to be parallel with the flowing stream. The county built that with the walls inside the culvert parallel to the road. It is a very common practice, but it is incorrect as per the Army Corps of Engineers because you disrupt the flow of the stream. Now all they did is they turned the stream and now it points towards Trail 9. The challenge with that is if you point it straight with the stream, the swimming beach is out of 90 a year. So,
you know,
compromise them.
Can DEC have any input in with the county and maybe on our behalf?
Where
you're going.
Primary.
Okay, good.
Gold is on
that. That'll help me.
You have those four
since I work with this guy. Rick. You're good? Mr. Zabo,
really?
You're sitting over in the residence.
I'm fine. I have something.
Yes.
Last meeting.
Yes.
Oh, okay, I'm wrong. Ray Sears is coming to a regular meeting.
Right? Yes.
Okay, I'm wrong.
Okay.
And another thing is he gave me his number. I did contact Ray, and he said if you'd like to call him ahead of time, and he would, answer any questions.
I imagine.
But he was going to come tonight, but he's tied up in Amherst.
Okay.
Okay, another thing I wanted to add is I wanted to have a dock committee. We're up to 300 now as far as docks, and I'd say we're like halfway done. And hopefully, I don't know, we're running out of time this year, but if we're going to be able to catch up on land, we should get up to almost the dam, I would say, before the season ends here, and then we'll just have that one side to go down.
You'd be able to get the other side easily.
Yeah, a lot of it we'll be able to get by walking. We're going to start counting the docks, and so where we can't get once the water's drained, boom, we're going to know what number to continue with. So
yeah, anything from the dam over.
Yeah, we should be able to get up quite a bit on land.
Rhonda, how many, I had asked last time for input on the comprehensive plan. We got one. One, okay. So we will address that one input when we meet again on the 16th.
You'll have more from them by then.
Well, our deadline was today.
Yeah.
Yes, I hardly think that can apply. This meeting is a special meeting. I'm sorry.
There's some gentleman tearing a house down, which is definitely a lake property, about 20 feet.
By the beach.
20, kind of, yeah, beach, yes.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot that. I saw that myself. Yeah, tearing it down and burning it. Chimney's still standing.
Well, I don't know if he burned it, but I saw.
Oh, he burned it.
It was burned?
He burned it. They tore it down, they made a huge bonfire, and the kids carried the stuff out.
He can't even do that. Really?
Nope.
He must be from around here.
You're local.
Wonder if he got arrested.
He didn't apply for permit.
No.
Okay.
So we better.
Yeah, we better.
I just have one more comment.
Yes.
The boats. Because we come here for holiday weekends, and we also come non-holiday weeks during the summer. And on those non-holiday weeks when we're here, there's very few boats out on the lake. I mean, it's a paradise.
Yeah, during the week. Yeah.
It's just the weekend, and especially the holiday weekends, that there's such a crowding of the boats.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
I just like to, Maggie, I'd like to tell you and the rest of the landowners, you know, I'm a landowner also, and I'm in the, but if anyone ever has any questions, feel free, you could call me, call Ron and get my number, and I'll answer any questions that I can, and if I can't, I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
I will put that word out now.
Absolutely.
I'll expect that.
I know the whole board, they want to build a good working relationship with the landowners and everyone on this lake. Everyone wants to work together and make this lake enjoyable for everyone. That's how I feel.
Put the word out for you, Dave. Yeah. Okay.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second?